I've always loved the Saturday Night Live skits, especially what they call the shorts. Those are a lot of times those ads that play right after the opening monologue or the first couple skits. And they're just many times priceless. And I recently watched one. It was starring the late comedian Chris Farley. And he wakes up and he's sneezy and he's coughy. And he just says, "I've got the flu again, man. I just keep getting it." And his wife leans over and says, "Oh, no, honey, not again." And then you hear the hilarious voice of Phil Hartman, if you remember that character. And as he says, "Flu and cold season have you run down. How about sleeping it off? Not 8 hours, but 2 to 3 months. Introducing Hibernol, a cold medicine that's barely legal in this country. It contains 100 times more sedatives than the average medicine." And off Farley goes then with a big dose of Hibernol for a long slumber, waking up in the scene looking like Rip Van Winkle when the spring is blooming and his beard is long. This skit was from 1993. But it sure strikes a chord right now. Wouldn't we just like to sleep away 2020? Especially after a rainy weekend. And the good news is that I read that the makers of DayQuil have come up with YearQuil. And the tagline under YearQuil is, "You can sleep through the entire year." And then in parentheses, it says, "End 2020 fast." Well, I think that's probably a pill we might all take if we were given a chance. Dr. Anthony Fauci, speaking last week to the Episcopal House of Bishops, remarked and made it very clear that the time that we're in is going to be temporary. But it's going to be a really hard temporary, that the next few months will likely be as hard, if not harder, than the previous few months. And as we hope for a vaccine and enhanced therapies, we continue to live in this hard place. And there is a real hope for a vaccine, but if you're like me, after a long Saturday of rain, when you begin to think about a November or December with 3 kids that are basically like termites in your house, then how are you going to get through winter, right? How are we going to get through it? Because it feels like COVID is very much a demon that is tormenting us both individually and collectively. It feels just like a demon. And not just because of the healthcare issues. And it's clearly a demon from the healthcare perspective because it ravages people's bodies. And we have no idea even what the lasting impact of those that have recovered from COVID are. And it also ravages and torments our pocketbooks and our economic plans, creating uncertainty around the world. It's ripped our already divided political landscape in half. We've turned science into a political football and mask wearing into sort of who you're going to vote for. When a sidebar, just wear a mask, by the way. It does work, right? The science says it works. But that's the demon playing out writ large in our world, creating these divisions and these fissures, exposing our social and racial tensions. Now, we know how demons work, and we hear about them today in the gospel reading that Sally read. We meet a Canaanite woman who is being tormented because her daughter is possessed by a demon, and she's desperate, much like us. She just wants to be healed. She's shouting and asking for mercy. "Get us out of here, Lord." Now, immediately, notice the disciples begin to shield Jesus from this woman of perhaps mixed marriages and conflated religions. Biblical scholar Ann Killebrew describes the Canaanites like this. They weren't made up of one single ethnic group, but consisted of a population whose diversity may be hinted at by the great variety of burial customs and Celtic structures. In other words, the Canaanites are far outside of the house of Israel or the house of David, the covenant of God to God's people, far outside the fold. So get away from them, Jesus. Get away from this lady. Now, Jesus himself, did you notice that he's sort of curious about this lady? But he also throws out that I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then we have this woman persisting. She doesn't take that as a runaway, nor does Jesus run away. And then in her desperation, she begs and her faith compels Jesus to act. Or might he have acted all along? Because notice one important detail, he never tries to send her away. It's the disciples that are pushing her away. Jesus engages her, but not in a way that pushes her away, nor does he leave her. So biblical scholars can plumb this tension for years, but the reality and the end point of this story is that he heals the daughter. He saves this lost sheep. Real sheeps, the daughter and the mom. He goes outside of his station and universe. He expands God's love and God's good news to heal this woman's daughter. God's love releases this family from their torment. And this is precisely the type of healing and power that we need in our present moment. Something outside of us that can rip us out of our bottoms, Lord, that can save us as we are being tormented by COVID and a broken world. We need God's grace and provision to help us overcome our stress, the fatigue, the uncertainty, the depression. Not only do we need it, it's the only thing that can save us. Because if you've tried, like me, to save yourself, it just doesn't work. You inevitably have a bad day. You scream too much. You get depressed. You get sad. You get despondent. You feel despair. Lord, have mercy on all of us. It's this mercy and grace that saves the Canaanite woman. It's the same mercy and grace that followed that one sheep and brought it back into the flock. It's the same grace and love that rescues both the older brother and the younger brother, that finds the coin after sweeping the floor, and that rescues you and me. It's why Sunday after Sunday we talk about God's gift of love and mercy for you and me. That's why St. Paul, in addressing the Romans, he speaks in the most concrete, legalistic terms about this gift. Paul writes, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." Did you hear that? The mercy and love and being called into being a child of God is irrevocable, unbreakable. It's irrevocable. That bond of mercy and love given from the cross and sealed when Jesus declared on that hill, "It is finished." Those nails pierced his body and the blood sealed for us the irrevocable covenant of God. Our forgiveness, our mercy, our healing, the restoration of our souls and bodies. It's precisely why we call Good Friday good. Because in his death, we know once and for all that God loves us without condition and without reservation. Our pursuit of God is over because God's come to us and died for us. And this is our only way out, is to find God's continued work in the world where he restores justice, loves neighbors, and works through others to show love and kindness, grace, mercy, forgiveness. It's the Holy Spirit, and it's, again, our only way out of this mess. Our only hope is in this irrevocable gift where we find love and mercy and comfort. There's an incredibly poignant song in Hamilton that speaks to both despair and the bottoming out of our lives and this grace, this love that is just as unimaginable. We're obsessed with Hamilton. On a side note, I can't believe I didn't watch it until July of this year on Disney Plus. I commend it to every single one of you. And we've probably watched it 7 times and listened to the soundtrack, I don't know, 1,000. I mean, it's really, really an incredible musical performance and so poignant. And in addition to telling the story of the founding of America, it's full of grace, forgiveness, and love. When Hamilton's son, Philip, is killed in a duel, Alexander and his wife, Eliza, are talked about, and they sing this song called It's Quiet Uptown. And it's a song that's dripping in demons of losing a child, the despair, the bottom that comes with that type of pain, and also with a rupture in their own marriage, where Hamilton has had an affair. But it's also a song that's dripping in grace and a recognition that even though they're at the bottom, there is a power there that's stronger than they can ever imagine that's holding them and loving them. Hear the beginning of the song as it migrates through this emotional swing. They start off by singing, "There is a suffering too terrible to name." I think that very much speaks to where we live today and what we see in the media and in this world is ravaged by a pandemic. And then as they move through this suffering, you hear Alexander say, "I take the children to church on Sunday, a sign of the cross at the door, and I pray." That never used to happen before. It's that old saying of God's office is at the end of our rope, or God's office is at the bottom. A divinity school professor, Virginia Theological Seminary, once gave a sermon about the death of his own child, and he simply said that I've hit the bottom, and the bottom is solid. God is there. And as the Hamiltons find this bottom, and they suffer through these unimaginable pains, like we are as a country through our collective experience, and like the Hamiltons, we're bottoming out and crashing down. Yet there is this security that we find at the bottom, that we're not alone. That God, when he went to the cross and died, he went to the bottom before us. That we realize that we're found by God in our bottom, in our bottoming out, and that there is safety there in God's love and mercy. The song towards the end says, "There are moments that the words don't reach. There is a grace too powerful to name. There is a grace too powerful to name." The good news for you and me in the world is that we do have a name for this grace. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified for our lives, reminding us, telling us that God's unconditional love is poured out every minute, every second, every hour, every day of our lives. For you and for me. Amen.